So I want to direct you to one verse. That's verse 24. So Lucas chapter 13 verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. One of the disciples or the followers say to the Lord Jesus Christ, will there be many that be saved? What a lesson. You see, because the Lord Jesus does not answer this question. Lord Jesus doesn't say yes or no. Because the Lord Jesus knows why this person asked this question. It's a question asked out of pride or ignorance. You see, because maybe we ask the same question. Will many be saved? But think about the reason why we would ask this question. Why are we worried about others? And why are we worried about multitudes being saved? Do you know why I asked this question? Because if the Lord Jesus would have said, yes, many, many will be saved, then this person would say, oh, okay, then I will probably be with that many. And this is the same thing with our day today. The mass of people around us, and even within the church, is just hoping that everyone will be saved. And everyone will just go to heaven. And then at least I will go too. You know what that's called? Carelessness. And that's why our title of this message today is Careless Christians on the Way to Eternity. Careless Christians on the Way to Eternity. For thousands, yea, millions around this world are careless Christians on the way to eternity. And we today have to ask ourselves, are we too a careless Christian on the way to eternity? The problem is this. Careless Christians will not enter into the kingdom of God. You say, we can have a title or a name, Christian. We could say, I'm a Christian. But that's not going to give us life. That's not going to bring us into the kingdom of God. We could even be a more staunch Christian, a Christian who does much. Outwardly. But it won't make a difference. You're still a careless Christian. I want to help you. And I hope that your hearts will be touched today. Because Jesus Christ gives a different answer. He answers this person to his conscience. He doesn't say yes many or no not very many. He says, as it were,
Don't be worried about everyone. And the arrow of God's grace goes to that person directly into his heart. Because when Christ speaks through his word, it becomes individual. Just because you belong to a church does not make you saved. And so Christ says to this man, not yes many or not or only a few, but he brings it home to the person. And he says this. He says what we read to you. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So he gives him a mandate. He says to him, you strive to enter into the straight grave. He says, you make sure that you go into the straight gate. And he says, besides this, many are trying to go, but they can't get in. Many are trying to get into the straight gate. But and we want to tell you what this means for you and me. And then for us to observe, have I entered into the straight gate? To eternity. To everlasting glory. You see, the straight gate is a picture of a very narrow way. In that time it's an idea of a mountain landscape. Where the passage to pass through is very narrow. Very narrowly can we get through to a bigger space. Which means that not many can find it. Because the broad way is to pass around the mountain. Or over top of it. That's the easy way. But the narrow way is so narrow that what? Think about this. It's so narrow that only one at a time can get through. And that's what he means by individual. Salvation is individual. You cannot go to heaven because your wife is a believer. You cannot go to heaven because your husband is a believer. You cannot be saved because your pastor is a preacher.
You cannot go to the into the kingdom of God because you have a Bible. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God because you sing a lot. Or that you go every Sunday to church. You cannot enter this kingdom because you have done something good for your neighbor. Or that you're a prominent person. A deacon or an elder. This is not the narrow way. And you cannot come to the altar and say a prayer and be saved. That's the broad way. The narrow way is just narrowly getting through. Now you would maybe think this. Is the gospel narrow? No, the gospel is not. The gospel is free and full. But I need to tell you something. The gospel doesn't save you. The gospel is not your salvation. That's not what brings you into the kingdom of God. The gospel is the truth told to you. And the gospel leads you to the narrow gate. But you may say, why is it so narrow? And I need to tell you something else. We thank God for this teaching. That it's narrow. Because he will be glorified and honored. That it's narrow. Because you don't want to go in any other way and be deceived. But why is it then so narrow? It's because there's only one way to enter into the kingdom of God. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the narrow way.
And
it's individual. You see, when someone hears the gospel, and the gospel has an effect in your soul, and you are drawn by the gospel to the narrow gate, the way to the kingdom. Then I have to tell you something else. It's so narrow that even that you believe that, so that's faith, that you believe the gospel, faith in the gospel also can't save you. You see, because many, many people believe that the gospel is true. Many believe the Bible. Many believe there is a God. Many believe all of the things contained. And that also is will not save you. Because he says here, listen carefully. Then shall they begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets.
Akuti tamwa tadya malano malano machachi mwana mungu ena za kuti tinkaja tinkama malomano mungu mukanaso mizinda.
But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me.
Yes, we are Zabuza Nukudi. You don't
know where you're from.
But
these people, when the door is shut,
they
have a complaint.
And
they say, we have eaten and drunken. You know what that means? That means when your Bible was read, when the gospel was preached, we even ate from it. And we drank from it. We came to church. We had a Bible in our house. And he's going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. And you might say today, wow, this seems so impossible. But I need to tell you something. This is a glorious promise of God. This passage is a promise of him. It's not to make you afraid. Or scared. It's not for you to say, well, then if it's so, it seems so impossible.
Then how shall I
get there? No, it's a promise. You know why? Because there's so much false gospel today. That he wants to convict the people who are saying, it should be okay. It should be all right. As long as I do something and act a little bit religious, eat and drink in his presence, I should be okay. But he wants to tell us something today. He wants to say to us today, it won't be okay. People, we are now in a time of grace. It won't be okay. You won't come, but when you die, to the gates of heaven and be able to offer any explanation
to
God. Either you will have the mark of grace on you and you will be recognized. How will he recognize you? How at the gates of heaven will you be recognizable? You will be in the likeness of Christ. You will look like Christ. Not outward. I mean spiritual. So that begs a question for us today. Do I look like Christ today? Do I act like Christ
today?
Only then will we know, do I have Christ? And that's the straight way. Am I Christ-like? Or do I act and look more like Satan and his kingdom? You see, because Revelation says it very clearly. It's very clear who shall go into the kingdom and who shall not. In Revelations
21.
Verse 7, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Iye wakulagika kapena kuti amene adzapambane izi zonse adzalandira izi ndipo ndidzakhala Mulungu wake ndiye adzakhala mwana wanga.
And verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, so this straight gate is so narrow that the narrowness of it is representing going in through Christ. Not out of any works of yourself. Not out of any merit from
myself.
But Christ has worked it all. Do you trust in that? Is Christ your works? Christ merited it upon the cross. And do you stand on the merits of Jesus Christ? Do you have to say, any good in me is because Christ dwelleth in me? Or are you neglecting this grace and this mercy? Are you still hoping that whatever you do is going to get you there? Because it says in another gospel, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. It's very easy to go on the path of destruction. Why is that? Because we're already on it. That's our nature. We are already on our way to destruction. Automatically. It's not a choice. We're not born with a choice. But we are automatically walking on the road to destruction. And I beg you just to look at your life. If you don't believe we are on the way to destruction by nature, just look at our villages. Look at our country. Everything is full of corruption. The government,
Boma,
the police force, our villages, our families, all the way down to ourselves. Full of corruption. Full of hatred. There's murders. Witchcraft. Theft. Husbands leaving wives and wives leaving husbands. Children who don't know who their father is. Hunger. Poverty. It's all filled with corruption. You see, we are already on our way to eternal destruction. And we think maybe that the gospel is as such. That on my way to destruction, I will try to do my best. And when I get to the gate, or the T, of eternal destruction or eternal hope, I will be there. And I will use something in my power to convince God that I was any better than anyone. And God will say, I don't know you. And so that's why he's saying, strive to enter today into the straight gate. And what is that entering in today? That's by faith alone. And it's by grace. God offers His grace, His mercy through the gospel. You can hear it. Maybe you can taste it. But have you entered in? You see, because maybe when someone's cooking and you're from a distance, you can smell it. And it gives you even more appetite. And it makes you hungry. But have you eaten it? No. You could even go there and you can look at it. Now your appetite is even greater. You've smelled it. You've seen it. But is that going to... Are you going to walk away and say, I'm finished, I'm full? I have eaten well? No. The only way to benefit from that food is to take it and eat it. And that's the same thing with salvation. We can hear of grace. We can hear of Jesus Christ. We can go as far as seeing the miracle. But you know how what the Lord Jesus says? When the multitudes came to him, you know what he had to say to them? He says, ye seek me. Not that you want the truth, but you seek me to see my miracles. And he had to admonish them. He says, you seek me not because you're looking for a kingdom, but you seek me for my miracles. Ye seek me because I made 12 baskets of bread over when I fed the 5,000. And you want to experience that. And you want me to make your a kilo of sema into 50 kilos of sema. That's why you're seeking me, says God. And you and me have to ask the same question about ourselves. Why are we seeking God? Because maybe we are seeking God for temporal things. Maybe we want earthly blessings. And I know that you, in Malawi here, you think, maybe if I go to church, if I be religious, then I will be blessed. But that's not true. God is not looking to bless you for earth. He already does. He gives you exactly what you need for this time. Do you have a house that's maybe broken? That's exactly what you need. Because he does not want you to put you to rest. Giving you more. He doesn't want you to rest with his outward blessings. He already blesses us on this earth. Maybe you say, no, I don't experience these blessings. Do you know what we deserve? Nothing. Nothing at all. The fact that we have rain, crops, and all of these blessings. Did you notice the sun come up this morning? Do you know God did that? That's a blessing. Did you hear the birds this morning? Chirping? At 4 o'clock in the morning. They were praising God.
Yes.
The birds are praising God.
Yes.
Why? Because God takes care of them. While his people, while men and women walk around
and
don't get nothing, my neighbor gets everything. You know why? Because we don't trust God.
Yes.
Do you know why our lives are so, we feel our lives are so miserable? Because we do as if we trust God, but our heart is far from
it.
Let me give you an example, ladies. I need to give such a plain example to you. I said it Friday and I have to say it again. I see churches. Many of them. And they're crying out. God is good all the time. They're saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All of
these things. But yet I see so many women who are doing that.
When it gets dark, bringing men into
it. Bringing men into
it. For a thousand.
Why would we lie?
Now
look, if we feel we have to bring a man into our house, because we need to feed our children, then at least we shouldn't say hallelujah. And we shouldn't say God is good. You see, this is the broad way and the narrow way. You see, because how will you be able to answer God? When you come before God and you say, I said God was good all the time. And I said hallelujah. Why won't you accept me? God is going to say this. I wasn't looking at your mouth. I wasn't looking at your actions. I was always looking in your heart. That's what he looks for. And he wants your heart. He doesn't want your outward actions. My friends, you can fool each other. We can fool our husbands. We can fool our family. You know, when someone comes and comes home, and maybe the wife or the husband says, where have you been? And you say, I've been by my field. Working in my field. See, then someone says, but I was by your field and I didn't see you. And you say, no, I was with my friend in my friend's field. You see? And his friend comes, and you say, were you with him in your field? And his friend says, no. And you say, no, not that friend, another friend. You see, you can keep fooling each other. But God saw you. And knew exactly where you were. And he saw every action. We can break stories. We can try to act as if even act as if it's truthful. And we can be so good at it. Serious face. We say, well, are you accusing me? You see, we can do so well with that. But God sees us. And when we go before God, that means when we die, we won't be able to tell him these stories. We won't be able to say, but I was with you, I was under the gospel. God is going to say this. Your heart didn't change. You still have the same evil heart. And even though you did outward nice things, it does not give you a ticket into eternal glory. How then, my friend? How is this possible then? How is the gospel preached? And to whom is it preached? See, this is a mystery that not very many people preach. God says this. The Lord Jesus says this. I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. He says this. He who is not sick does not need a physician.
Amen.
Are you lost? Are you sick? Then you need Christ. Christ came to save enemies. Christ came to save those who truly recognize I am a liar. Do you know who Christ came to save? Whores. That's what he said. Was Rahab not a whore? I came to save fornicators. When do we read that? In Hebrews 11. He comes to the well by Samaria. And the Lord Jesus says this. Go get your husband. You know why? Because she needed to be convicted. And she says, I don't have a husband. And he says, you're speaking. You had five husbands. And the one that is you have now is not yours. See how convicted she was? Why is he going to her? We would say, Lord, go to the local church. There are very good women who are singing. You should go to them to save them. You know what the Lord says? No, they are saved in their own estimation. You see, because Jesus Christ came to save those who were in the sin of schemes.
Kifuanu Yesu anabauza Musa azibamba jamena mali akakalabasa kwambira nokuti chikachanga cho chiya chakasafika patika sati ndo ndama ita chikagona iyo chindali tinatanga ta umbava
like Levi the tax collector
ngari mama chiti ranso ajare bina farisa akakuti munthu ayo kopesa msonko amachita ndithu mwa mzero.
Do you know what he was doing?
Kola marana Levi.
He was collecting from the people.
Alevi amauzi na ulika kumeni songo na matrole na ndrama kwa watakwisa. Yuyo sura kope songo.
Then he would keep some.
Ndama na kudiyo. Songo kwa 5,000. Yuka mbira 5,000 deja.
Give some to his friends to keep his mouth quiet.
Lenga 3,000 ndi wisunga maso yu korona na songo jana wona wakane na jitunga mzari yungo sunga 1,000 ndi kuli na mdende ngeo yuduru kwa. Songo 2,000 ndi wakane 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 wakane.
then he would give the rest to the government.
Yes, such a government
organization.
Kamnaga.
That's who Christ came to convict.
Amini woho na mini sana wini.
You know, Christ, he came to drunkards.
Yes, no boy as a dogma masamuzi mura wina wamina zuri wapa samanyaza. Amini wo.
He came to those who were outcasts.
Ah, jamina yang muzura agana guru mau anda sih mau ini kasih dia dalam suatu tempat yang muzimun. Amin.
Those whom the community cast out.
Amin yang muzura orang ada sih mau ini kerasa.
Why?
Cifanya.
Why?
Cifanya ni apa amin?
My friend, I need to tell you something.
Ni apa yang anda nak tunggu sebentar kau?
It's the same as today.
Ni muzimun ada lori.
You have a village.
Moni nama muzura.
You have a community.
Moni nama muzimun makar.
If one of the women was caught cheating, then you have a right, you say in your culture, to send her home. She is ashamed to the community. That's who Christ seeks. And if you see a man in the nighttime stealing, going around the village, what do you do? You come out with
pangu.
Yes.
Do you know that Christ seeks those
people?
Yes. See, this is so opposite with what we think. Why is that? Because my friends, if someone is caught stealing, then why does the village come around to get you? Because you don't like it that he's exposing your own
heart.
You see, we want to get rid of all the people who have come out in open with their
sins.
Yes. They have to go. So that we can still have
status.
Instead of admitting, we are all the same. We are all sinners. In our heart. You see, we may take a man who has taken another wife. We may be angry with him. We may beat him. But will we beat someone who looks at another woman and says, "Ooh, I need to talk to her"? No. But God looks at the heart. We look at the outward. But God looks at the heart. That's why the Lord says in the Lord Jesus says this. He says, if ye but look at a woman to lust after her. That's all he says, but look at her.
Yes, I'm not going to go to the house. I'm going to go to the house. I'm going to go to the house.
tell you, you have committed adultery in your heart. You see, this is what we need to be delivered from. This is why we need grace. This is why we need Jesus Christ. Not as a person around us, but in our life. We need Jesus Christ in our hearts. We need forgiveness of all of our sins. And we need Him to come and change us, each one personally. And the only way possible to receive this in your heart is to believe in Him and to receive His gift of grace. Not to look at His grace or to touch His grace, but to receive it in our hearts so it may change us. It may forgive our sins. There's only one narrow way to enter, and that is in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It's only in the washing and cleansing of His blood. My friend, the only one way is this. You need to be born again. And born again means to be born of the Holy Spirit. And if we are born of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and new life comes in our hearts, it will be noticeable. It will be seen that grace has changed you. And if this church is saved by grace alone, it will begin to flourish. It will begin to be graceful, merciful. Then your family will change. Your lives will change. You have no more desire for a different wife. Before grace, you're always seeking for something better. And if you don't like your first wife, you send her home and go to another wife. Always unrestful. Even blaming for idolatry on it. And you say, go home. Or get someone else. That's before grace. But don't believe this lie. That after grace, you change. You'll become patient. You rest in what God gives you. My dear friends, ladies, mothers, before grace, everything's rest, unrest. Never happy. Looking for more. Everywhere you can try to find it. But after grace, you are born again. You rest in Christ. And you get a substance from heaven. Peace fills your soul. Rest fills your soul. Grace fills your soul. And that's why the Lord Jesus says this. The Lord Jesus says, strive to enter into the straight gate. Do you know what that means? Don't settle for anything else but Jesus Christ. It's just like if someone is drowning and is swimming to the shore, trying to get to the shore, and someone says, friend, just take a little rest before you get to the shoulder. But the person says, no. I can't rest here. Don't deceive me. I will drown. And the crocodile should get me. You see, striving is saying no to whatever is false. You can't settle for anything but to be washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So many pastors and prophets and
ministers,
they say your life is going to be blessed. You're a good man. No, you're not a good man. Jesus Christ is the only God. I am a sinner. Don't settle for someone saying you're a good man. You have been a good mother. You have taken care of many things. You have children. And your children you teach your children very good. You're a good mother. No, you're not. There's no such thing as a good mother. Only Jesus Christ is good.
Yes,
you
have to come,
and you can only be a mother in Christ.
And
He dwells in you. See, no one could ever say you're a good person.
Ah, you know,
because of how you try or what you've done. It would be a lie. Because Paul says this, if you see any good in me, it's not me. It's Jesus Christ who dwells in
you.
And this is the straight gate. To believe in the only name given under heaven and upon earth. And to receive the gift of grace. So that Jesus Christ takes away all of your guilt. All of your sins. The curse upon you. And gives you in return peace. Because He was all alone. When He died on the cross. And you were not there. You did not help Him. You did not give Him anything. But He did it alone. And He said, I do it alone. To give you peace. To give you rest. Who here today has to recognize I am on the broad way. I'm going with my family on the broad way of destruction. I need to tell you again, like I did Friday, I believe something is stopping you from coming to Christ and believing in Christ. And you know what it is? It's your culture. You put your culture above. Jesus Christ says this. Who will not leave mother or father, brother or sister for my sake. Is not worthy. Do you know what he means? He doesn't mean literally leave your wife or leave your husband. He means this. If you don't leave the tradition and the culture of your village, of your family. Because at that time was the same problem. Many people wanted to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they wanted their own culture with it. They were mixing culture. And faith together and trying to marry it. And it doesn't work. Being a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ is forsaking the value of culture and tradition. And having no more value in it. Seeking not a continuing city here below, but we seek one to come. See, your culture in Malawi is what's withholding you from faith in Christ. Well, to give you some examples, the biggest culture problem here in Malawi is husbands and wives. How they come together and how easy it is to split. And God is not pleased with Malawi because there's kids walking everywhere. And you know what the Christian in Malawi says? The Bible says if she's caught with adultery, I can leave her and I culturally lying against scripture. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that husbands and wives are allowed to split. And I know this is hard for you to hear. But if I don't tell the truth today, the truth will find you. Because this is the truth. Now, Jesus Christ says this.
Yes,
they were tempting him. Moses said we can leave our wife if she commits adultery. What do you say? And he says, Moses said so, yes.
Moses,
because your heart is hard. That's why he gave it. But from the beginning it was not such. That's not grace. Jesus Christ says, if you want to do so, you have no part with me. Because that is not the kingdom of grace.
That's
not the kingdom of mercy.
That's
not who Christ is. Your culture says that if someone dies, you must attend the funeral. Even if it means canceling a service. You know what the Lord says? Let the dead bury the dead. Follow thou me. And you're afraid that maybe the spirits will follow after you. So you're more afraid of your culture than you are of the gospel. I only mention a couple of things. But your culture is your religion. And that's why I'm coming here. To tell you, if you are married to your culture, you're married to your tradition, you have no part with Christ. And he shall say, you had your culture. You had your tradition. You were married to them. I know you not. I don't know who you are. You are never married to me. That's what Christ will say. That's how narrow it is. It's so narrow that you cannot get any other thing through. Let me tell you something. Let me try to give you an illustration. If you have a very narrow place where you can just get through, but you have a backpack on and a helmet on and pockets full and a big bag, can you get through? No. What has to happen? You see? Someone backs up and says, ah, my backpack has to go off.
Farewell, backpack.
I will miss you. Tries to go through. But still can't get through. This has to go through. You can't get through with that. So you try to get through.
No further, same law.
And you get a little further. But your head doesn't
get through.
You're a
part of it.
You must come on. And you go try again. This is how salvation works. You cannot take anything with you. No rights, no traditions, no culture. Maybe you get through like this. Your pockets are still full. And you have to take them off. And you try again. But your feet don't get through. Because you have big shoes on. That's pride. Big shoes. Nobody has such nice shoes. And your shoes have to go up. You see, you cannot get to this kingdom of heaven. You cannot be saved with all this stuff on you. With all these traditions, all of your cultures, it has to be you. Naked before God. Because you came into this world naked. And it will sure be that you leave this world naked. The Bible says you came into the world with nothing. And you will leave with nothing. You see, that's what God's word tells us. And we want to build our own religion. Take it all with us. And then take God's grace to do the rest. It's not going to be.
Not going to be.
It's not going to be. I call out to you. The bottom of my heart. Pay attention. Pay attention. If you don't know this Christ, who has given you grace from nothing, no payment, he says this, all ye who are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He says this, come buy from me milk and honey for nothing. Grace is free. That's why we call it free and sovereign grace. You can go to him today. As you are, naked, bringing nothing, and receive the gift of grace by going to him. He gives it to you. Not this man. I only tell you about it. But I have nothing to offer you. But he has everything to offer you. And when he gives it to you, he gives you rest and peace. And he changes you. And he changes you for your family. Then you may begin to pray a new way. And then you know what happens? You see small things. And you say, thank you, God. Yes. You're my life. You're my hope. You're no more afraid to die. Because you say with Paul,
for Paul and
grave or death, where is your strength? Grave, where is your victory? And And you say to those around you, this is not my life. This is not my home. But Jesus Christ has prepared one for me. Because he promised, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place. This is not my clothes. This sima is given by God. And if I get some relish, I thank him. And I thank him alone. And if I see the rain coming down, I give him honor and glory. And if he gives me a crop of corn this year, it's all by grace. And I don't need another man to take care of me. Because Christ is my husband. And God is my Father. And I will appeal to him. I will go to him when I'm in trouble, when I'm in need, when I'm scared, when I'm afraid. He will set me upon the rock. And the rock is Jesus Christ, where I am on solid ground. Because he saved me by his grace. And glory to him forever. And I will put my trust in him. And I will not put my trust in others. But not my trust in princes. Neither will I put my trust in anyone. But my God alone. Have you gone there? Have you found the narrow way? That narrow way is so precious. Because there's a lot of broad ways. And what a precious promise. That every time I see a broad way, I say, no, that's not true. But the narrow way is this. Jesus Christ alone. And when someone says, I am saved because I do a lot of good things. You say, no. That's the broad way. And so when someone says, I used to do bad things, but now I do good things, you say, that's the broad way. That's not Christ. Because my friends, I ask many people in my life, and I just ask very plainly, okay, what does it mean for you to be saved? You know what the biggest thing is? Well, I used to do bad things. I used to drink. I used to steal. I used to be a bad person. But now I've changed. So I'm saved. And Christ is missing. It can't be. It can't be. It's Christ alone. You must be saved. By grace. Through faith. It is the gift of God. I call upon you all to forsake all the broad ways. All the ways that seem easy. Seems easy to get there. And find Christ alone. Have a meeting with him. Come to him. Go to him. And receive the gift of grace. Go to him naked. Here I am. A clump of sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. And give me eternal hope. Because of your work. O Lord Jesus Christ. Because of your sacrifice. Because of your gift. You gave yourself. Into death. So that I may live. Oh Lord, give me this grace. Forgive me. And accept me. In Jesus' name alone. Amen. Amen.